Come live in me one more time.
Come live in me.
All my life.
Take it over.
Come breathe in me. Oh, sing it.
Come live in me.
All my life.
Take it over.
Oh, take it over. Come breathe in me. And I will rise.
I will rise. I will rise an eagle's wing.
And I will rise. Father, we thank you again for your tangible presence in our midst. We're grateful. We don't take you for granted because we know it is not everywhere your tangible presence is manifest. As we go into the Word, we ask that that same tangible presence go with us. Oh Lord, come and open the Word. Then open our understanding. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me. Those who are physically present as well as those who will hear me remotely electronically. Or who will hear me remotely electronically. So that the word will flow freely from you, via me, through me, to the people. To do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble. Minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they're heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. My message today is entitled, keep playing that, but very, very quietly, so it's not obtrusive, but it's still there in the background. My message today is called Works of Faith with Power. It's taken from the text in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul is praying for the Thessalonians. This is actually an apostolic prayer for the whole church. It was given to by revelation to the apostle Paul. He prayed for Thessalonians, but it's for everybody, you know. That God would count them worthy. That's a great prayer because you see Jesus telling us in the book of Luke, where he says, you know, that you would be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, God is assessing us. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember exactly when, I was teaching about obeying your conscience, and I talked about the issue of continuous assessment. That thing is going on. Many people don't realize that. You know, they're not conscious of it, that God is constantly assessing you. And it is only those who are accounted worthy that qualify for certain aspects of, you know, the things of God. It's not for everybody. I keep doing that because it's the truth. You know, I will rephrase that a little bit. It's for everybody. But it's not everybody that allows themselves to go through the process of becoming worthy and then qualify. God is not an exclusive God. He is no respecter of persons. There is no one that cannot get the highest that is available in God. But there's a process that has to take place in your mind, your will, your emotions, your body to account you to be worthy. And so Paul is praying this great prayer for these people, and it's a prayer I pray for myself every day. I've taught us it's in all my books, you know, since 1988. You know, if you are really following after me, this is how you will know. If you don't pray this prayer for yourself, you're not really following fully. You're following, but not fully. You know, it should be a prayer you should pray every day. I pray daily, you know. I've been praying it for 40-something years now. You know, that you count me worthy of the high calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. And here it is, the work. Everybody said the work of faith with power. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Do something to this mic. It's not, it doesn't have the usual, I think it's a little bit muted. So please, up there, always do your testings properly before the service. So I don't have to keep telling you this every week. You know, make sure the mic is at the right volume so that it's easy for people to hear what I'm saying. Everyone say, the work of faith with power. Now, that's what I want to concentrate on today. It's very interesting. I actually asked the choir to sing that song, The Thomas Kind of Faith. Now, what's different between Thomas and the others? You know, Thomas could only believe in what he could see. Let's keep it compact. In what he could perceive with his physical senses. Most Christians are like that today. You find people that, you know, when we finish praying, you say, you know, praise God, they don't praise God. But if the answer comes and they see the physical man, you go, oh, praise God. They could not praise God like that before the answer came because they could not see the invisible. So it only became real to them when the physical manifestation came. But God wants us to be people. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. He said, Thomas, now you have seen, you now believe. He said, but there are people who didn't see yet believed. And of course, the greatest example of that is John. John did not see the resurrected Christ when he believed. He saw the empty tomb. He saw the napkin on his head neatly folded together. The Bible says, and he believed. He saw the evidence. You know, he knew what Jesus had said in the past, so he believed. So believing is a very, very important thing. And we're going to talk about it more about it in a minute. So the work of faith with power. So this tells us three things. Number one, there is a work that you have to do with faith. And that work has to be done with divine power. The Greek word power there is the word dunamis, you know, and we're going to be looking at that later on, you know, in this message. You know, dunamis is processed zoe. I'll explain. Crude oil is what we get from the ground, but you cannot run your car on crude oil. You take it to a refinery. Then, you know, it has certain fractionating columns and all of that, you know. And one of the products of crude oil is petroleum motor spirit. We call it petrol. That's what your run cars. There's another product which is called diesel. Some engines like our generators, they work on diesel, you know. And so many other products like that. But the base substance is crude oil. So it is with the life of God. The life of God is what is inside God that makes God God. It's the original substance. Now, when you process Zoe through prayer, confession, it now becomes power, dunamis. It can create. It can bring healing. It bring prosperity. Give wisdom. All those things are products. They are products of refined Zoe, of Zoe that has been processed in the place of prayer and confession and speaking. You see, when God does anything, he speaks it into being. So the Zoe in him is now released through his mouth as dunamis, power that now created the heavens and the earth. that now, you know, made the sun and the moon and made the fishes and made the animals and made the grass and all those things. Those are the created products that are a consequence of Zoe, the very life of God that has now been processed through God's heart, through confession, through prayer. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, you learn a lot in those few verses there. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, you know, the earth became without form and void, you know, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. At that time, God had not made any water. So there was a water before because of the fall of Lucifer. So over the face of the waters. And then God said. So there was a process that took place. The Holy Spirit was incubating over that confused, chaotic condition upon the earth, you know. And then God now spoke. When he spoke, power, dunamis, came out that now created, you know, spiritual light over that entire condition. And then all the other things were now created, you know, day one, day two, day three, and day four. Let me just say this, you know, for those ignorant, and I don't say that in an insultive kind of way. I say it in a corrective kind of manner. You hear a lot of scientists, you know, they'll say, the other day we were watching something on, was it on CNN? It was CNN. You know, and they discovered one skeleton that they say, oh, it's about 80 million years old. You know, they use, because I'm a physicist, they use what we call carbon dating. You look at the radioactive material, then you can take it into the lab, do some little experiment on it, that you can estimate, it's just an estimate, you know, how old it is, you know. And that makes people say, oh, the Bible cannot be true. The Bible says, you know, the earth was created in 6 days. You know, you haven't read the book properly. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, full stop. Then, and the earth became without form and void. Only God knows how many eons, I preached this some years ago, you know, of time passed between when God created the first heavens and the earth, and then it became without form and void. Then he stayed like that. Then the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And then this present earth as it is now, you and I, was made 6,000 years ago. But before that 6,000 years, there's a whole host, if I can use that expression, of ages, eons, going into millions, billions of years that we know nothing about. We know by revelation is there, but we don't really know how long. So when the scientists start discovering things, there were spirits on this earth before. This same earth, because God first of all created the heavens and the earth. Satan was here. Principalities and powers, they used to live here in physical bodies. When God cast Satan out of heaven and all the rebellion, they became disembodied spirits. That is a spirit that hasn't got a body. So those their bodies and many of the fossils that are skeletons that are being found today are those demonic bodies that those spirits had before the rebellion and when God had to now, you know, destroy. What you see this in Jeremiah chapter 4. It's in different places in scripture. You see in Isaiah 45. I don't have time to go there, but trust me, it's there. You know, you find that all of that, it's all there, you know. So when they see dinosaurs and they saw those, they were all there on the earth before the fall of Satan or the destruction of that ancient civilization. So when you now see all of those things, so don't let anybody, like the Bible says, he says, let no man, you know, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And come, oh, the Bible is not true. You know, the science has found that, oh, God is millions of years ahead of science. Trillions. Are you listening to me? So, God made the heavens and the earth. You know, and he did it by this life that is now converted to dunamis. So when he says the work of faith with power, he's saying faith, then there is a work. But that work of faith is not flesh, it's power. It's to be done by dunamis. A lot of our works of faith are flesh. We don't do it with dunamis. We do it with natural human, you know, gra-gra. That's a Yoruba colloquial term. You know, we just natural human struggling, you know. We all know this scripture, and that's the next scripture I'm going to go to. It's James chapter 2. Everybody knows this scripture, or should. Well, maybe not everybody, but, you know, everybody should. And if you've been a Christian for some time, you should know scripture. So then, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith in God many times requires some corresponding physical action. Many times we try and do those corresponding with by the flesh. So we do foolish things. Let me tell you a foolish thing I did many years ago. You know, I gave testimony here a few Sundays ago. You know, I was believing God to go to America. You know, and I got the money for the ticket. I bought the ticket. But I didn't have money for the hotel and all of that. So I hadn't got my visa. But I was still believing God. So because faith without works is dead, I now did the works of faith. But it was in the flesh. I went to the airport without a visa, you know, and without any money, you know, trusting that maybe an angel or something will appear, you know, and God will just, you know, do something. So when I got to the airport, you know, I was a young Christian. I didn't know better. That is a very typical example of trying to do the work of faith by the flesh instead of doing it but with power. I'm going to show you how to do it with power in a minute. You know, so, of course, they didn't put me on the flight. They said, Mr. Johnson, you don't have a visa. Sorry, I can't put you on the flight. So, but they were nice to me. They weren't too nasty. They said, I should go to the American Embassy. Anyway, to cut a long story short, you know, I told you, you know, prophetic word came the night before. Then somebody came and gave me $1,000. All that happened, you know. So with that money and all of that, and I went to the American Embassy. And then in those days, it wasn't like it is today. You just walk in, tell them, you know, I told them, show them my ID card. I'm from Imperial College. I'm going on summer holiday to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I took Kenneth Hagin Word of Faith magazine. They didn't know who Kenneth Hagin was, but I showed it to them. They said, okay, Mr. Johnson is very hot in Tulsa. Have a nice time. And they stamped my passport. In those days, it was so easy, you know. And I came back. The plane had left, you know, and then I met a gentleman who said, come tomorrow. And I did, and he put me on the plane. I didn't do the work of faith with power. I did it in the flesh. Many Christians still do the same thing today. So I want to teach you today, by the grace and the mercy of God, how to do the works. Yes, faith without works is dead. There are works of the Spirit that are done with dunamis. And we're going to get to how the physical one comes in. You know, when we read these examples, you know, they call it corresponding action. But what's corresponding? Sometimes another foolish thing that people do is, I won't take medicine. And we say, that's not to prove I'm believing God. I'm not going to take any medicine. You're not taking medicine is not a work of faith with power. It is flesh. It is without understanding. And many times it will kill you. And it has killed many Christians. Not taking medicine is not faith. It took us many years to understand this. I almost died as a young Christian, believing God. I had malaria, believing God. I'm not going to take medicine. I'm believing God. Faith without works is dead. If I take medicine, it's work. You know, thank God I had some more mature Christians like Brother Emiko and others around me. I said, it's not like that. You just die. And I almost died. You know, then I had to go and take anti-malarias, and I got healed. And I started learning more. Because, you see, when I was a much younger Christian in England, if I got sick, I'll just pray and I'll get healed. And that happened for a while. Then after a while, I did, and it didn't work. But later on, years later, I've learned now, even taking medicine is a part of the work of faith. When it's done, it's led by the Spirit. Taking medicine is not wrong. And then I now discover that in the Bible, Hezekiah was healed by putting a bunch of figs on, which is like us taking medicine today. Yet before, he was going to die. So God healed him, but he said he should put you know. So the divine healing came along with natural medicine. And that God still does that a lot today. People don't understand that, you know. So this has been a lot of misunderstanding. So let's deal with them one by one. The first work of faith that you must learn to do is believing. What is believing? I'm going to give it to you in a very simple way. I laid a foundation during the Bible study. That just so happened. They're not interconnected. You know, is seeing the invisible. You can put inside your notebook, put believing equals seeing the invisible. If you believe, you will see the invisible. If you're not seeing the invisible, you're not believing. And I explained during my Bible study that it takes spiritual light. We're going to get to power in a minute. It takes spiritual light to see spiritual things, just like it takes physical light to see physical things. I can see this television now because there's a light that is coming from that is entering my eyes. It's going to my retina, to my brain, so I can see it. If you switch it off and you switch off all the lights in this place, you know, and we put dark black curtains on all the, so that no sunlight is coming, I won't see it anymore. Not because it's not there, because there's no light activating the sense of vision to enable me to see it. Without physical light, I cannot see a physical thing. Without spiritual light, you cannot see spiritual things. That's why majority of Christians don't believe. And that is why they are always trying to use the Thomas kind of faith to get the blessings of Abraham, and it's not going to work. You'll never get Abraham's blessing with the Thomas kind of faith. The mountain will just stand there in that same old place. If you have to see it first, touch it or something or taste. You'll never get Abraham's blessing with the Thomas kind of faith. If you have to see it first, hear it or touch it. In other words, if you have to perceive it with your physical senses, you're not going to get a blessing. So, I don't want to get off on Abraham, but you know, Abraham, God told him, you're going to have a baby. 100 years old. He looked at his body. He looked at Sarah's womb. Menopause had passed years and years ago. There's no way that's going to happen in the natural. But he believed God. He saw, because God had showed him the stars and said, so shall your seed be. So he was seeing the invisible. So instead of, you know, staggering at the promise of God through unbelief, he began to thank God. Even though he recognized his body didn't have the physical ability to have the baby, you know. And then God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So he started doing what God said. He started calling himself a father of many nations, calling things which are not as though they are. The spiritual power that was released as he spoke God's word put light in his mind. And in that mind, now he began to see himself as able. And you know what? Within 9 months, they had a baby. Give the Lord a clap offering. Then give Father Abraham a super clap offering. Hallelujah. You know, Abraham's alive. He's not dead. God is not the God of the dead. He's God of the living. They're dead physically, but they're all alive in heaven. They are conscious and they can hear our messages. Every time you call their name, one of those people, when you preach a message, they just quickly turn to your channel. No, they have television in heaven. Closed circuit. So they can access what's going on in the earth. I use the expression that we can use, understand on the earth. Truly. Then they can see what's going on here, you know. They just click, click, ah, they're talking about me, scripture pastor. Let me see what they're doing. Peep into the service. Praise the Lord. Then he knows the people who gave the clap off. He knows the people who didn't. So when you get to heaven, say, that day they preached about me. The pastor says, you didn't give a clap offering. Anyway, up here we've forgiven you, but you know it's true. Very real. Heaven is real. It's not religion. It's reality. So anyway, you know, so believing is seeing the invisible, watch this, from the light that comes from dunamis, power. That's why it's the work of faith with power. You have to put this where life scriptures, we're going to get to that in a minute. This is where life scriptures, you know, and putting the life of God into your spirit, soul, and body in sufficient measure is very important. That's why most people don't believe. They don't have sufficient light shining into their mind. We saw this in the Bible study. It says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's within them, the having their understanding darkened. If there's not sufficient light in your mind, you will not be believing. You'll be doubting. Because you won't be able to see. You're not seeing and perceiving spiritual reality apart from your physical senses. Most people are trying to get, they want to feel something. They want to shake. They want to shout. They want to roll on the floor. They want someone to go and pour anointing oil on their head. I remember I think it was Kenneth Hagin who taught us this. If you go to James chapter 5, it says that is any sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Then watch this. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know what scripture said, Pastor G? He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And he stopped there. He said, and if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. Now, I'm going to ask you, this is a test. It's a rhetorical question. Don't ask, because many people will fail it, but so don't put your hand up. What healed that man? The prayer. Was it the anointing oil? That's the mistake. The church is still making the same mistake till tomorrow. It's not the anointing oil that heals. It's the prayer of faith. Then, of what use is the anointing oil? To give the carnal mind a point of contact, because he cannot believe, he can't perceive the invisible. So when you put the anointing oil, I feel oil, anointing is on me. That's why God put it there. But most cases, if you're operating at a higher level, you don't need anointing oil. Just speak the word. Jesus didn't put anointing oil on the woman with the issue of blood. She came in faith. She just said, if I can touch it, because she had heard all the testimonies. People said, that man, virtue is coming out of his healing everybody. Woman said, wow, I'm going there. I've spent all this money, these 12 years, nobody. And she came through the crowd, taking a great risk to herself, because if she has discovered, she would have been stoned, and touched his garment by faith. She didn't see any anointing oil. She didn't see any glory. She didn't see any light. She didn't see any lightning, but it was there. But it was invisible. But she believed. When she touched it, power, dunamis, kosheka frene, flowed into her body, and instantly she was healed. That's where God wants us to operate from. With understanding, with faith. True faith sees the invisible. The invisible world is real to the person who is operating in proper faith, because his mind is enlightened with the light of dunamis. It's the light of life. So Zoe, converted to dunamis, now produces light. The diesel in the generator outside is converted from chemical energy to electrical energy that is turning a turbine inside that generator that is producing electricity. The electricity is flowing into this building and into these bulbs that is now producing light. The thing that is actually given is the diesel. But the diesel has to go through a conversion process to become light. So it is in the spirit. You put Zoe into your inner man, then you ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, then you pray in tongues and you convert that light, life, to power, and that power now becomes light in your mind. I don't know if I've helped anybody there. That's reality. And that's the reason why people don't believe. They don't have enough. They don't have sufficient light. That's why, watch this, honey. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why? Because the entrance of his word giveth. You can't have faith if you don't feed on the word. Because when you feed on the word, you get life through the word. And then that life will now be converted to light that now makes you see the spiritual reality of what the word of God has said. Then you have faith. Faith sees the invisible. Are you listening to me? And the reason why many of us are very, very weak in faith is because we don't have sufficient life and light in our spirit and then in our soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. I'll tell you another thing. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to mention it. Attitude determines how much light will flow into your mind. Even if you do the processing in your spirit, your Give me the soul life illustration. I'm going to cut to it and I'm going to come back. We're going to use the other one to the life flow. But the soul life one first. Quickly. I need to show you this. And I have an updated version of the soul life illustration. It's a little bit different from the one we have. Now, okay, stop. Wait a minute. I'll give you my instructions. Here, you have a little bit of our spiritual anatomy. Your spirit, your innermost being has two parts. There's what I call the inner core. That is the inner of the inner. It's like having two concentric circles. Concentric circles are circles that surround one another with the same center. So the inner core, then you have the outer core, and then up here you've got your soul. Your soul is your will, your mind, and your emotions. Roll the movie. Right. Now, we're focused on the soul. See, look at your will. Your will is like a door. It's like a trap door that leads to your mind, your conscious mind. And then up there, all those things that look like nerve endings are your emotions that are connected to the physical body. Now halt the movie for a minute. Reverse the movie. Rewind. Go back to the soul up there where we focused on the soul. Go back. Yeah, now stop here. Let me explain this. Oh, you know, all this came by revelation. I didn't have a vision. How did I get to know all of this? Light in my mind through the word. And that's the highest way of getting revelation, not visions or dreams. This is the highest way. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Talking about dreams and visions and all of that. He said, when I speak to my prophets, he said, I speak to them. He said, but my servant Moses, said, not so. He said, I speak to him face to face. The actual Hebrew is mouth to mouth. Moses got revelation by the word. Others are getting it, you know. This is a higher level of revelation. Much higher. And this one is the precise one. This is the one you judge by. He said, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no in them. Now, let me explain. You see, your soul is this part of your inner man that is at the top here. It is clothed by your brain, just like your spirit is clothed by your body. Your soul is clothed by your brain, and it has three parts. It has your will, then your mind, and your emotions, the upper part. This lower part, where the will is, what psychologists call the subconscious mind. What do we mean by subconscious? You know that you are not conscious of it. You sense it, but it's not like when it's in your mind where you can really understand. And that's where God really operates. He operates. When you become a Christian, we call it the witness of the Spirit. Before you become a Christian, it's your conscience. That's why even unbelievers know things. They call it a hunch. You know, when we used to read James Hadley Chase many years ago, there's this detective, you know, fiction, but a lot of lovely stories and all of that. You know, the police, I know God walks with them. They will just have a hunch. They won't know. They don't have any evidence. He will just know that this man is the thief. It's God who is telling us through your conscience. And you know what will happen? Keep it there. I'll get back to you in a minute. You know. And then they will start investigating. You know, they'll start checking. Usually in the police and in crime, they always tell you, follow the money. Once you follow the money, you get them. Just follow the money. Then after a while, they'll get the evidence and they'll now prove it. But initially, they wouldn't even know. They just have a hunch. So, you know, even people in insurance, if you go and tell lies to try and get insurance claim, if they have good investigators, they will listen to your story. Especially the experienced ones. They just have a hunch. He's lying. They don't have any evidence. Then they'll say, go and dig. dig deeper. Dig deeper. You find that this man is lying. Even unbelievers have this. And Christians, after you get born again and all that, your own sensitivity should be much higher. We call it the witness of the Spirit. You know, you just know. I remember my wife, when she had just become born again, you know, a very sensitive spirit. We went somewhere, you know. She was still a young Christian at that time. It's 1984, 83. Went for a meeting, you know. And this man was, somebody was preaching and all that. Then he got to a particular point, he went off. My wife just told me, he said, the anointing left that guy. I said, how did you know? I knew. I said, how did you know? She said, I just knew. I said, you're right. You ask Christians. That Bible says, the anointing that dwells in, he teacheth you all things. But many of us are insensitive. So that's your conscience. It's your subconscious mind. You know, that's where God knocks. We're going to see that in a minute. Then when your will says yes, if you are willing, we're going to see that in a minute, you know, then that door will open. Then light will now go into the mind. Then you get revelation. If you are stubborn, if you are rebellious, if you are unforgiving, these are the things, these are the major things. Those three. Everybody say stubbornness, rebellion, unforgiveness. Those three things will keep that door locked. And I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you read your Bible. The light will stay down here. It will never get up here. And you will never get revelation. That's why attitude, they say, determines your altitude. It's true. If you don't change your, just a small thing of your attitude, no matter how much light is, no matter how much you pray, he says, wherefore is there, you know, in the hands of the what's that scripture? Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a scorner? You know, for to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart for it. One other scripture I want us to look at. Keep this on. Don't remove it. You know, everybody can turn in your Bible to it. It's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. We're not going to put it on the screen immediately because I don't want to lose my diagram. You know, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. Everybody look at it. I want to show you the connection between spirit, soul, and body. Proverbs chapter 15. It's amazing how God revealed all this to Solomon. Let's give Solomon a super clap offering. Yeah. He did some bad things, but he also did some good things. Watch this. The light of the eyes rejoice the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. What is the eye? The eye there is the mind. The light, thank you. Okay, let's put it on this here. The light of the eyes, it rejoices the heart. Watch this. Revelation in the mind will affect emotions. Will affect the emotions. The emotions will affect the body. Bones, fat, that's physical. The rejoicing of the heart, that is the emotions. The light of the eyes, that's the mind. So what is happening in your mind will affect your emotions, and that in turn will affect your body. So if you, let's reverse engineer the scripture. If there is darkness in the eyes, the heart will become depressed instead of having joy. And the negative report, instead of making the bones fat, will cause the bones to shrivel. This scripture is the root cause of many sicknesses. And no matter how much you pray for them, they're not going to get healed if they don't change their attitude. That's why a lot of people are not getting healed. Go and check these three things out. Everybody say it again. Stubbornness, rebellion, and unforgiveness. And you know what? Most people don't see stubbornness as stubbornness. They see it as exerting your right.
You see, I'm saying, don't let anybody pushing you around. Oh, you know, you have to be a man of yourself. You have to, you know, like Putin, double down. It'll destroy you. It destroyed Saul. Stubbornness, just self-will. People see it in the world, people see it as a virtue. I'm going to go there and I'm going to come back. I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to go there and come back. A lot of this woman liberalism. Don't let any man control you. Don't let any man control. Don't mind all those people saying the Bible said no. You have your own money. You do your own thing. No man. You will never submit you to any man. Stubbornness. It always destroys them. Queen Elizabeth, who the whole world is celebrating today, was a godly woman. She was queen, no doubt. But she was submitted to her husband. Unless you don't know the story of the royal family very well. I mean, she and her husband, they had a little bit of problems initially, you know, just very slight, you know, because Philip was a boy, you know. Boys will be boys. You know, but he was a good guy, you know. So they had a talk and agreed and all of that. He said, okay, you're going to be queen. Fine. He said, I'm going to be here. I'll be next to you. And I'm going to give you all the support. So whenever they wanted something, she'll go back and discuss with her husband. And Philip would give her direction. No, don't do this. Let's do it this way. Let's do this. Then she'll come out and I'll say, queen said. Any successful man, that's the key to your success. This stubbornness. This rebellion. I just read it in my personal Bible reading today. You know what he said? He said, Adam was first formed before Eve. I didn't write the Bible. Paul did. Are you listening to me? He said, Adam was not deceived. He said, the woman was deceived being in the transgression. There's just something God has put up about divine order. You break it, you live in darkness. I said, I will go there and come back. So I went there and I'm back. All right? Conscience, witness of spirit, you know. So that's what the Proverbs chapter 15 verse 30 explains very clearly how these three things operate. A good report, light in the mind, will affect, bring joy in the heart, the emotions, which will bring, make the bones fat. Now, roll the movie. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I helping anybody here? You like it, you don't like it, you will hear the word of God. Now, roll it, roll, roll, roll it, roll it. In Jesus' name, I have life. So, stop the movie for a minute. Just freeze it there. What I just preached earlier on today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, the body of Christ, Colossians 2:19. Observe, all this life, this Zoe, is not only coming from your personal Bible study and prayer. It's all those four sources. There's your personal Bible, which is the most important, actually. And it's very, you know, then it's just like the other ones, like they're like trace elements, vitamins and minerals that you need in your diet. So you need, you know, to be in a local church where you're submitted and be active in some group. You know, you need to be submitted to your local pastor. Then you also need the international prophetic apostolic pastor. It's all of that that's coming in here. That's why I put it here. Connection to Christ. Personal and his body. Now roll the movie. Roll it, roll it, roll it. Now freeze it again. Freeze. Observe the inner core is yellow. The outer core begins to have some, or it's a type of fire. Bible said the Holy Ghost and fire. What is happening is that what is inside the inner core is being processed. So it's now being converted to power. So this orange part is dunamis. This yellow part is life. So when just like the physical heart, your physical heart is pumping blood. Your inner core, your innermost being is pumping Zoe. Then in the outer core, it becomes Zoe and dunamis. It is Zoe and dunamis that is being distributed
throughout the entire inner man. It is Zoe and Dunamis that is going up to your will and is knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is knocking on your conscience. I'll give you two or three scriptures about conscience. You know, the first one says, you know, you can check the scriptures later. You know, it says, the woman committed adultery. I don't know how a woman can commit adultery alone. They brought only the woman. You know, men are terrible. I'm a man. Terrible people. They only brought the woman. She couldn't have done it alone now. Why didn't they bring the man? Probably is one of them. So they said, Master, this woman was caught in the very act. I don't know who told them. Must have been the man. Silly fellow. So they said, Moses said in the law that we should stone her. What says thou? Tough question. Jesus couldn't say they shouldn't stone her, because that would be contrary to the law. Right on the other hand, he wanted to save the woman. So the Bible says he did as if he didn't hear them. So he consulted. Everybody say, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So exactly what happened. Jesus wrote on the floor. The Holy Ghost gave him wisdom. So he now stands up. He said, no problem. We're going to stone her quite all right. Okay? This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. He said, but he that is without sin, I want him to be cast the first stone. Oh yeah, start stoning. The Bible says all of them convicted by their conscience. That's how God works. That dynamic, it hits them. In those cases, they were not born again. So it wasn't from inside, it was from the air. It hit their conscience. You, remember what you did last week. You, remember that. If they should stone this one, they will stone you too. So the guy just went away. Bible says, and all of them left. From the eldest to the smallest. Then Jesus now got up. He said, has no one condemned you? The only one who had the rights to. The only one who had not sinned. Give the Lord Jesus a super clap offering. I love the Lord Jesus. So that's why, that's the person I want to be like. I'm becoming more and more like him every day. That's the character I would have. You know what he said? He said, neither do I condemn thee. He said, go. But he didn't stop there. And sin no more. In the book of Acts, Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. You know, the Bible says, and they were pricked in their conscience. The word, it's old English, King James, used the word prick. Like when you prick something with a needle. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He will prick your conscience. He's from the inside here. So you can choose to open. You can choose to close. He will not force it. He will just, it's a nudge, a prick. And now scripture. I've given you three. Then I'll turn to one. You know, I'll give you another scripture. It's the book of Acts, same book of Acts. It's chapter 4. You know, they've, you know, preached and all of that. So, he said, Peter now, they put them in jail. You know, and Peter, they told them not to preach again in the name of Jesus, but Peter and John, they kept preaching. So, they were very angry and all of that. So, Peter now said, you know, he said, you know, you know, all your fathers killed the prophets, and now you yourself, you've delivered the just and holy one, you know, to be crucified and all of that. The Bible says, and they were cut to the heart. That's another word. Cut, prick, nudge. That's how the Holy Ghost, he will be touching your conscience. Now, you can choose to ignore it. Do you know you can get to the place where you deaden your conscience? Where even when you don't feel it again, the Bible says, with a seared conscience, don't ever let that happen to you. Keep your heart tender. How do you do that? Practice. No other way. Learn to obey. If he says, go and apologize, go and apologize. If he says, pray for that person, pray for. You are exercising your heart, then it will stay tender. If you keep violating it, it will become seared to the point where the evil will go stop you here. And that happens to a lot of Christians. Roll the movie. Am I talking to anybody here?
I said, roll the movie. So we've got this life and power, this dunamis, and it's a mixture. Then it gets up to the conscience, you know. This is the subconscious mind. Then he knocks. Keep rolling. Stop. Freeze. Now, this person has responded. So you see, the will has said, this is a humble mind. He submitted the will of God. He has agreed. So keep rolling movie now. Keep rolling. Now, freeze it for a minute. Willingness causes you to know. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, then shall he know. You will never know if you're not willing. That is why the Bible speaks about willful ignorance. You are ignorant because you are not even willing to do the will of God even when you get to know it. So God will not show it to you anyway. And millions of Christians are like that. Stubbornness is preventing them from getting revelation. And if you're not willing, you will never open. Look, this person has opened. Willingness causes you to know. So you can now see some of the yellow has entered the mind. He begins to get, you know what happens here? Woo! You've read the scripture. Light just came into your mind. Keep rolling the movie. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. Now, this is a good one. I thought it's an updated version. It's revelation, more revelation now. So that life and power, you can see some of the red there. Stop, you know, freeze. All the sin nature is gone. Because we've entered perfection now. Glory to God. We've entered the year of Jubilee. Don't miss Wednesday. Wednesday is Day of Atonement. And we're going to blow a trumpet. Not all this shofar that they blow. The trumpet is with your mouth. The Bible says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. I'm going to blow a trumpet on that day. I'm going to make a prophetic and apostolic declaration. You know, because this is now available. It's now, that's what Jubilee means. Jubilee means a return to your possession. Your possession is your mind and your body. In the Old Testament, it was your land. You know, then they give your land back to you. Now they're giving your land back to you. But your land now is your mind and your body. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. So you remove everything. Roll the movie. All the signature. Then the white is a type of the glory of God. Now fills the mind. Fills even the body. The outside is no longer black. It's now light. That's the life of God being made manifest in the mortal flesh. So that if body, it is in this condition that if the woman with the issue of blood touches you, they will be healed instantly. That's where we're going. Am I talking to anybody? We're talking about believing. Let's get back to the message. So, the first work of faith with power is believing. Seeing the invisible. And this is how you see. By allowing light to come into your mind through a right attitude. The word, the entrance of the word giveth light, you know, staying God's word, reading God's word, meditating God, so that light will come. Then having the right attitude so that the mind, the will will be open so that the light from the spirit can enter the mind. Jesus said, take heed that the light that is indeed be not darkness. In other words, you can have light here and darkness up here. Many Christians are like that. Light here, born again, but no light here. Because everybody say rebellion, stubbornness, pride. I didn't say that one. Unforgiveness. Pride is another one. I don't know how I missed it. The Holy Ghost reminded me. The Bible says there are six things, yea, seven, that God hates. The first one is a proud look. Observe, he didn't do anything. It's just the attitude. Just look at people like this. A proud look is blocking revelation. And you know, God is always watching. Remember, it's continuous assessment. How do you treat your driver? How do you treat your house girl? You won't be proud to a rich man because you want to get something from them. You know the Bible says so? The Bible says,
He says, the poor useth entreaties. He said, but the rich answereth roughly. When you think you don't need people and you answer them, you are blocking your revelation. Attitude. God is watching. Continuous assessment. And watch this. I didn't show it in the movie, but I'll show you. You can see, of course it was in the movie, but you know, you can see that there are levels of opening. You understand? Some people may just be open this a little bit. So he gets some revelation, but not enough. Because he's not fully submitted. The thing has to be completely open. That's why those prayers we pray every day, I have more humility. I remain small in my... You need to get... Because every day you do it, you are opening that thing more. You're opening that thing more. You're opening it more so that when you pray, you know, you don't have to pray for 10 hours before you get revelation. Within a few minutes, pew, light comes. Am I talking to anybody here? Have I helped anybody? You know, if we said the grace now and went home, everybody would be happy. But I ain't done yet. So let's move back. Let's get back to the word. I'll see what I can do. If I don't finish it today, I'll take it next time. You know, it says, the second work of faith, we've dealt with the first one, which is actually the most fundamental one. The Bible actually says, there are two other scriptures I want us to look at. Hebrews 11:27, talking about Moses, he saw him that was invisible. Quickly, Hebrews 11, we're talking about believing. Believing is seeing the invisible. Everybody read it with me. Say, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as doing what? Seeing him. To believe, you have to keep seeing. I say it every time, Tuesdays when we pray. See the invisible. See the blood of Jesus. See the life of God. See the power of God. The life then goes into the inner core, and from the outer core is pumped out as life. See, every time you pray, you should be seeing that. Now praying, your mind is in goes to Ajegunle and come back. You'd be amazed where people's minds go to when we are doing prayers. They go to Sokoto, go back. Some people, you know, is, let this brother Olubi finish everything. I want to go home and eat. I'm a landro de me. Say, Pastor Olubi, how do you know? A little bird told me. He said, curse not the king, not even in thy thought. He said, for a little bird will go and he will reveal the matter. Oh, people, you'll be amazed at the nonsense in the carnal minds of people. In the house of God where we are praying, the mind will be all over the whole place. You have to learn to discipline that mind and remove all those black spots, all those carnal sin nature that's in your mind. That's why you need to groan and pray and confess the word and all these prayers and confessions we've given you so that you can clean that stuff out. So your mind will be clear. Thank you. All right. The second scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Jesus is Lord. 2 Corinthians. Yes, Jesus helped me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. I think I'm going to continue this next week. I won't finish it today. I'll take this and maybe one or two other scriptures and I'm going to close. It says, for God, I didn't hear you, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? God wants that picture I just showed you, that movie. You know, he wants to shine into your heart, but he has to come through your will. He will not violate your will. To give the light of the what? Knowledge. This is the textbook definition of revelation knowledge. What is revelation knowledge? It is knowledge that God shines into your heart from your spirit, from the Holy Spirit. It lights your mind. Then when you now read the Bible, you're reading with that enlightened mind. He's opened your understanding. So when you read temple, you don't see a building. You see you. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The other day we were praying for the outpouring of Latin former rain. I went to Zechariah chapter 10. We actually have the prayer. We've typed it out. We've edited it. So maybe we just share with everybody so that people can see that prayer. You know, I made that prayer that day. You know, now I went to Zechariah chapter 10 where it says, and the Lord will make bright clouds. The actual Hebrew, and this is captured in the Amplified Bible, is that he's going to make
flashing lightning out of the clouds. That is cloud, you know, like when you have a thunderstorm and you have lightning coming through the cloud. Now, it is a type of you and I. We are clouds. The Bible says every, you know, a false gift is like cloud without water. When you have a cloud, you have a gift, you know, gifts of the Spirit, ministry gifts, and it doesn't have any teaching. He says it just makes a lot of noise, a lot of wind, but there's no rain. So when the cloud carries rain, then rain is a type of the life of God, which comes through teaching. Now, so when you say clouds, you make bright clouds, that is, give it to me in the Amplified. Quickly. The Amplified. Yes. No. The Zechariah. Thank you. Ask of the Lord, yes, who makes lightnings which usher in rain. So, you see, those clouds would not have light. That's a type of you and I carrying the glory of God. Lightning! Biara, 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 biara. That song we sung during the praise. Biara, arise, lightning! So as they were singing that song, that's what I was seeing. I wasn't just enjoying the music. Biara, 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 biara. That's exactly what we're becoming. So lightning will be coming out of us. The glory of God. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You want light to come out. So it will now go into the mind and it will enlighten the understanding. We're going to look at others next week. Another work is confession. That is speaking God's word. You don't just open your mouth. You have to do it with power. All these works of faith are with power. Praying in the Spirit is another work of faith. Again, it has to be done with power. Stand to your feet. I'll continue it next week. It's the works of faith with power. Without dunamis, you can't do any of these works properly. You can't believe properly. You cannot confess properly. You cannot pray in the Spirit properly. And we'll look at this again next week. You cannot have the right corresponding physical actions. Because it has to be dunamis that will push you, that will enlighten your understanding and give you the strength and ability to make the right physical corresponding action. Most of our corresponding action hitherto have been in the flesh. Let's talk to God. I have made you too small in my eyes. Believe me.
I have made you too small in my eyes, oh Lord, oh Lord.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And I have believed in a lie.
And I have believed in a lie.
That you were unable to help
that
me.
That you were unable.
Show yourself strong.
in my heart and in my song.
Oh Lord, be magnified.
Oh Lord,
be magnified. I have made you too small in my eyes.
I have made you too small. In my eyes, oh Lord,
please forgive me.
I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me,
but now.
See my wrong.
Heal my heart.
And show yourself strong.
And in my heart.
And in my song.
Oh Lord.
be magnified,
O Lord.
O Lord, be magnified.
Be magnified.
Be magnified.
Be magnified.
O Lord, you are highly exalted. Forehead that represents your soul and raise the other hand to God. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you.
Eyes are on you.
Be magnified.
Be magnified.
What a prayer.
Be magnified.
Oh Lord, be
magnified.
Now raise that hand and pray after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of previous sins and attitudes of rebellion, pride, stubbornness, unforgiveness that hitherto have hindered me from getting as much revelation as I should. Oh God, heal my heart. I see my wrong. I'm sorry. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive a fresh dose of your life and power that will go through my will now that I open to you and then into my mind to give me fresh understanding, fresh revelation of how to operate, do the works of faith with in Jesus' name. Neka tolo mosheke tefrene. Lembrigito fredes. Lambrika tofredenga. Ya 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 hoko. Father, thank you. Salaprike tolo mosha. Lord Jesus, aprigito frenenga. Lombrike tolo mosh. Holy Spirit, lambrika tolo mosh. Rananga toske free. We thank you for your blood that brakatuski fridingaya, for your life rananga tuske frenenge, for your power nakakaya katoro ne tuske frene, lembraga, lombridika, lo into our wills la prikitoske frenenga, into our minds la prikitoske frenera, into our emotions li prikitolo motufrenesk, into our physical bodies la prikitolo mostofre, nenga, lambraga, into our circumstances, riketofrinia, into our heavenlies, regional heavenlies, riketofrini, insufficient measure, nea, nekatoske, finga toske fre, liprene, insufficient measure, rempatoske free, ningask, in Jesus' name. If you need healing, just stretch forth your hands. If you are home, maybe just joining us online now, just stretch your hands. God will heal you, you see. God healed that woman committed adultery. Even your sin will not stop you from getting your healing. That's not to say you should go ahead and sin. I'm saying this for the benefit of somebody, I don't know, somebody who's watching, maybe a few people who are here. The Bible says, and if he has committed any sins, I'm going to pray now, this prayer of faith is going to heal you. And even if you have committed, it's going to be forgiven you. God will heal you, but go and sin no more. That's the God we serve.
That's why his love is undeserved. It's not unconditional, but it's undeserved. You don't deserve it. But he's going to forgive you. When they brought that man paralyzed, they brought him through the roof. They spoiled somebody's house, Peter's house. They tore the roof. Jesus didn't get angry. They let the man down in front of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, and Jesus saw their faith. They believed that if Jesus prayed for the man, the man would be healed. He saw their faith. The first thing he did was he forgave his sins. He didn't even ask him to confess his sins. But God has given us great power, brethren. Use it. Remit people's sins. You don't need to ask them, you know, you don't need to interrogate them. Just say, Father, I remit his sin. See, if he has forgiven them, if he has committed, he'll be forgiven him. Then heal them. Now, after that, if you go back and sin again, Jesus said, a worse thing can come upon you. And that's what happened to a lot of people. They've been healed in the past. They didn't continue in the word. Then worse things came, and this time they don't get healed. So you're going to be healed. Stretch your hand towards your screen. If you're here physically, stretch your hand. Father, I release the healing power that is in the word, that is already in the air. I release it now into their physical bodies to effect a healing and a cure. I cast out the spirit of doubt, spirit of fear, the spirit of depression, the spirit of oppression. I cast you out, destroy your works, resist and bind you. And I release unto them, Lord, the spirit of joy. Give you the oil of joy for mourning. In Jesus' name. Done. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You see, folks, we are entering deep waters. The glory of God is here. It is. And we're going to trumpets. Sorry, we've done trumpets. We're going to Day of Atonement on Wednesday. Then the next week is going to start the Feast of Tabernacles proper. From the 10th of October to the 16th. Only God knows what God's going to do. Stay ready. I'm going to call. I will say, get ready. And then stay ready. So if you're not ready, get ready. If you're already ready, stay ready. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to the Bible and say, you stay ready by watching and praying always. And you have no bones broken, because your bones are made fat by the good report you've heard today. In Jesus' name. Amen.